One of them now reporting on the latest plight of the postman. Not dogs, the traditional enemy of the postman, but ducks. And we're not kidding. Letter carriers have reported two cases of duck bite recently. One in New Jersey and one in Illinois. In the New Jersey case, the mailman was patting a poodle when he was bitten by a duck. I guess it was a watchduck for the dog. Let's hear it in there. It was a watchduck for the dog. You're not listening. Hey, I'll bet the mailman had a hard time explaining that one to the boys back at the post office. Here come the Mule Skinner Blues by the Nashville Brass. Singer dancer Tommy Steele will be a guest this half hour. I'm talker Gene Rayburn, your host this Sunday afternoon. It's been quite a week with the beginning of a space flight and the end of a World Series. As you heard in the news, Apollo 7 is going along on schedule. Later on, Joe Garagiola tells us about one of the highlights of the World Series. He was an eyewitness, and we were eyewitnesses to that scene in the Tigers' locker room after the final game when they dumped champagne on Joe. That was a real highlight. Here's Brenda Byers with the auctioneer.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go then. What are you going to give for him? I'm a 25, will you give me 30 now? 30, make it 30, bid it 30, 35 now. 40, make it 40, bid it 40 now. 5, 5, 5, make it 45 now. 50 on the mark. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him that he should go to school. He'd stick away in the afternoons, take a little walk, and pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, and pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer talks rapidly. He said, oh my, it's a do or die, I've got to learn that auction cry, make a mark and be an auctioneer. Run a $5 bid now, $30, make it 30, bid a bomb, behind the barn, just working up a heck of a storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pop said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man selling. Use our good name is what we're gonna do, boy. Send you off to auction school and then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best. $35 bid and I bought it out for it. Who'd bid it for it? Make a board, bid it for it. Bought it out. Who'd bid it for it? Who'd bid it for it? I'll bid.
So come
such a happy cheer. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let them out and welcome, boys. Here we come, a lot number 29 in. What are you going to give for them? I'm a 20 trying to get a 30 round, 30 make a 30 bit, a 30 now, 5, 5, 5 now, 4 now, 4, 4, 5 now, $50, $50, who'd have been $50, got a 55 now, sold.
Now we've got the winners, and how Lincoln Mercury leads the way. We've got an all-new Montego this year. Nothing comes near. Stand up and cheer a winner.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way for 1969 with the beautiful new Mercury Montego, the winning intermediate from the makers of the Lincoln Continental. Montego.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Montego, with the look that makes an automobile truly beautiful. See all the winning new Mercury Montegos at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
Montego is here, drive a winner this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Former Miss America Marilyn Vandiver interviews Tommy Steele in 1 minute. But first, this word about carpet certified 501 by DuPont.
Here's good news. I bet you thought that collection of hand-me-down, found, and borrowed furniture was hopeless. As a matter of fact, it's right in style. Decorators are mixing all kinds of furniture styles and periods and calling it City Mix. The trick that can pull it all together is carpeting. But you won't have to go broke buying a carpet if you look for the 501 certification mark. The 501 mark means the carpet meets DuPont standards. First, you'll know it's made with 100% nylon pile, the longest-wearing, most durable carpet fiber there is. Then, the 501 mark tells you the carpet's been tested for pile weight, backing strength, and resistance to pilling and fading. 501 certified carpets come in a fabulous range of colors, styles, and textures. But the nicest thing about a carpet certified 501 is how gentle it is to your budget. So gather all your odds and ends together, arrange them on a carpet certified 501, and you're on your way to City Mix. This is Marilyn Vandiver, and my guest right now is Tommy Steele, a young man whose route to fame and fortune started in the London slums, progressed to Buckingham Palace, Broadway, and Hollywood. A living leprechaun himself, it was only natural that he was picked to play Og, the leprechaun, in the new film version of Finian's Rainbow. Tommy, haven't there been a few moments when your career story seemed like an unbelievable dream come true to you?
Oh, yes. I think it always does, really. I came into show business by chance. And everything from then on has been discovery. I think it's a business which is very fortunate. We keep discovering things all the time. You discover failure, you discover success, you discover mediocrity.
And you might be what we would call a school dropout when you were 15. Have you ever regretted leaving school?
I left school when I felt I'd learned enough. And I just desperately wanted to see the world. I was sick of geography. I said to the geography teacher, he said, you know, you're so bad at geography, it's not true. I said, well, if you don't mind, sir, I'd rather see the places than sit here and theorise. And that's really been my sort of aim in all my lifetime. I don't believe in theorising in too much with anything.
How did your family feel when all of a sudden you decided you wanted to go into theatre, or is this something you always
my planned? Mother was very much against it. And when I finally said that I wanted to play folk music and sing folk songs in show business, in coffee bars, that's where I began to sing.
And at what age was this?
when I was 17. Mm-hmm. Then I told my mother that I'd been offered a contract to do it professionally, and my mother said, do you mean they're going to pay you to do it? So I said, yes. Yeah. She said, but that's for people that are in show business. I said, well, that, when I signed this contract, Mum, I'm in show business. She said, but you don't come from a show business family, and isn't that a thing that you have to be sort of born into? You have to be born in a trunk and all that sort of thing. And I must confess, even I thought that earlier. And then all of a sudden I went into it, and she was very much against it for the first couple of years. She kept saying, when are you going to give up the job and go in, into something else, something more stable? That was her word. I never forget when I first went into the Navy. And my mother said, and she isn't a very learned woman, none of us are, but she said it sort of like Hemingway might have said it. And she said, we can teach you to walk from the kitchen table down the passageway of the house and out of the door. We can suggest how you walk down the street, how you carry yourself, how you sort of conduct yourself in life. But once you leave the front door of the house and you leave the street and the area and you go into places that even your mother, your father or I have ever seen, you must play it yourself. Whatever you do outside the street and the area is entirely up to you. We can only hope that we've taught you enough subconsciously how to handle it.
Yes.
But always remember the door's open. We can only teach you to open it and walk out. We can't teach you to walk back.
Hmm. Beautiful, isn't it?
Mm.
And memorable.
Yes, I always remembered it.
We've been enjoying our visit with the talented Tommy Steele, whose current film is Finian's Rainbow. And this is Marilyn Vanderber for Monitor. Have you ever had an upstairs neighbor that drove you wild with noise? If so, then you'll know that a carpet isn't just attractive, it's thoughtful. But a lot of people put off buying a carpet because they think they can't afford it. They haven't heard about 501 certified carpets. A carpet with the 501 certification mark from DuPont is probably the most affordable carpet you can buy. And it has to meet DuPont standards for 100% nylon pile, pile weight, backing strength, pill and fade resistance. When a carpet certified 501, it'll put up with just about anything.
Later today, Marilyn Vanderber interviews Tish Baldridge, former social secretary to Jacqueline Kennedy. Listen for that right here on the Monitor Beacon.
Now, Macy's biggest glove sale in 30 years. Now save 25 to 44% on women's imported luxury leather gloves. Hundreds of styles. Sale priced $450 to $950 at Macy's now.
What's a mood, a state of mind, and fun to do? The Jim Gerhardt thing. Come and do it with me, Gerhardt. Weekdays from noon to three, right here on WNBC Radio 66, New York.
Why do 600,000 volunteers contribute their time and their dollars to help 202 United Fund and Community Chess campaigns in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut? Well, for several reasons. Most often they say because it's good to feel needed. Well, they're out working again today. And when they ask you to help only with your dollars, please pledge your fair share. The United Way.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Chocolate.
It's a new song by Harper's Bazaar. You heard it on monitor. Now a message from the Oak Flooring Institute. Remember the comic book hero with penetrating eyesight who could see right through walls? Well, wouldn't it be great to have him along when you're looking at new houses? Say you're going through a house with wall-to-wall carpeting. Well, he could warn you right off if there were no permanent finished floors under that wall-to-wall. That warning could save you money in years to come. The simple fact is that carpeting wears out and has to be replaced. That costs money, a lot of money. Of course, if that X-ray vision reveals beneath the carpeting a floor of good, solid oak, you're in great shape because oak flooring, whether used with rugs or carpeting, will last the life of your home. It'll never need replacing, and today's finishing methods make oak easier than ever to care for and keep beautiful. Because they retain all their good looks, oak floors help your house keep its resale value, too. When you're looking at new houses, find out what you're walking on. Insist on a floor that will outlast your mortgage. An oak floor.
Here comes more of money.
Last week, Henry Morgan sat in this very chair thinking at any minute he would begin his regular Sunday afternoon monitor program. The World Series baseball game scheduled for this time was on again, off again. Well, you remember all that. As Henry sat here waiting and listening, Joe Garagiola went through the same kind of off-again, on-again experience, but he was at the game in Detroit. He tells about it after this from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company.
Hello, I'm Pat Paulson. One night I was sitting in my den trying to relax with a good book in front of a roaring fire. I found it difficult to relax because I don't have a fireplace. Considering the situation carefully, I decided to call the fire department, and I also called my State Farm agent. I called him because I have a low-cost homeowners policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's biggest homeowners insurer. A policy that protects my home and belongings, that covers them in case of fire, storm, theft, that protects me in the event of, perish forbid, a liability lawsuit. Soon I had a check from State Farm to cover damages. I still don't have a fireplace, but I read a lot in front of the furnace.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Now, here's old Joe Garagiola.
I'd like to take a couple of minutes right here to tell you about a day that I doubt strongly that I'll ever be able to forget. I'm going to try. But I don't really think very much of my chances. It was just a week ago today, and the place was Detroit's Tiger Stadium. It was a date that will go down in baseball history as the one on which the fourth game of the 1968 World Series was played. But that's not the way it'll be remembered by the people who were there. First, and most important, it was raining. Not one of those mild-autumn mists that you read about. It was cold, and it wasn't misting. It also wasn't drizzling. It was raining. The Detroit weatherman had said it would be rain, and he's the only man I can think of who had a good day. The game was scheduled to start at 1 o'clock Detroit time. At 1 o'clock, Roger Maris was sitting on the bench looking up at the rain and saying, "This could delay my retirement." When one newspaper man asked Maris why he was retiring, Roger gave him a big toothpaste ad kind of a smile and said, "To get away from guys like you." At 1:37, the Tiger fans applauded as plate umpire Bill Kinnaman cried, "Play ball." After a long delay, they were very happy to see the game get underway. After all, this was to be Chapter 2 of The Great Confrontation, starring Detroit's Denny McLain and the Cardinals' Bob Gibson. Well, their happiness lasted exactly two pitches. The first one to Lou Brock was ball one. The second one became a souvenir for some fans sitting in the upper deck in center field. The pattern for the day had been set. The Cardinals scored another run in the first. And in the third, Curt Flood opened with a single to right. The next two men were retired. Then Tim McCarver tripled. Mike Shannon doubled, and Julian Javier walked. At this point, the umpires acted again. It was raining harder, and time was called. We were then treated to the sight of 53,634 people applauding raindrops. The Tigers were losing 4-0, and Bob Gibson was pitching. The great confrontation had ended. McLain had been excused for the day, and the fans were hoping that they'd get the day off, too. Had the game been called off at that point, everything that happened would have been thrown out, and the Tiger fans were all for that, but it didn't happen. At one point, after play resumed, the umpires told Gibson to adjust the sleeve on his sweatshirt. Now, the sleeve is red and white, but only the red is supposed to be visible. When the white started to show, the Tigers complained. So Gibson stood on the mound while the freezing customers watched him unbutton his shirt and pull up the sleeve on his sweatshirt. And the Tiger fans applauded that, too. I guess they figured that there was a chance that the game might be called off on account of a bad tailor. After the game, I heard a lot of people say how tough it must have been on the players. And all I could think of were Bob Gibson and Lou Brock. Gibson struck out 10 and also hit a home run. Brock had a home run, a triple, and a double. You know, if there hadn't been a delay in the game, those two guys might not have even noticed that it was raining. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
So the 1968 record-breaking World Series is over. I'm still waiting for the year they break a record by not breaking any records. How about that, sports fans? Joe Garagiola will be heard again later today on Monitor. Weekend trippers, heed this.
For 1969, Ford presents The Going Thing.
Ford, it's a whole new thing. It's what's happening. It's a going thing. Ford, it's the going thing.
In Columbus, Georgia, we're heard on WDAK, I beg your pardon. All the stations get a word in here, then there'll be more of Monitor. Gene Rayburn taking a brief time out.
The temperature is falling.
Relax. The temperature never drops below Xerox. DuPont Xerox Antifreeze.
Come on now, talk it to me. Sing me a song. Let's keep the music groovy. We're going strong.
Rayburn here for the old curmudgeon Henry Morgan, who's taking a not-so-well-deserved vacation. But I imagine he's enjoying it anyway, and so am I. We'll have an Apollo 7 progress report in this half hour and commentary by Chet Huntley. New music to begin with. It's Mary Hopkin, and Those Were the Days.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose. Those were the days. Oh, yes, those were the days.
Ford presents The Going Thing.
Ford, it's a whole new thing. It's what's happening. It's The Going Thing. Ford, it's the way to swing. Go and have your fling.
On Monitor, Focus on the News with Chet Huntley, brought to you by Botany 500 and Dacron. Botany 500 started a fashion flare-up in men's clothing. The old drab, heavy box look has been overthrown. Reliable sources say that Dacron, the famous fiber from DuPont, is behind the revolution. Botany 500 executives confirmed reports. They stressed, however, the important role played by quality tailoring, with a dare-off personal touch. Never, they said, has styling been so great, shape so vital, or colors and patterns so exciting. Exclusive fall weight blends of Dacron polyester and wool are definitely the look of things to come. They're the height of luxury and unbeatable for holding a press. Across the nation, men are reacting. The demand for Botany 500 clothes is unprecedented. See the fashion flare-up at your nearest Botany 500 store soon. Your own fashion flare-up starts there. Now, here is Chet Huntley.
Indicative of this climate of change is the abrupt and sometimes baffling shift of what might be called our Negro Revolution. When the phrase black power first was heard no more than 3 years ago, it sounded ominous, and it took some time for many in the white majority to comprehend what it meant. Indeed, it required a little time for some in the black community to get the phrase on the right track and headed in the right direction. The old goal, no more than 10 years old, of integration, assimilation of Negroes into white American society, is now widely rejected, at least for the time being. The new goals include racial pride, cultural separateness, and economic and political self-sufficiency. The very word Negro is falling into disfavor. The words black or Afro-American are preferred, especially among younger people. Until about 3 years ago, the Negro civil rights movement was basically a middle-class one, and the South was the battleground. The participation of white people in the movement in behalf of federal legislation for voting rights, public accommodations, education, and housing was welcomed. But all of that is gone and belongs to another day. The new Negro leadership is concerned primarily with the problems of the lower-class black ghettos of the big cities outside the South. Civil rights laws are largely dismissed as irrelevant to the needs of the people in the black ghettos. White financial support is still accepted, but it's not energetically recruited, and whites are much less welcome in positions where decisions are made. The new Negro leadership may indeed have something as it seeks to develop black power. That is, a cultural identity within white society. If black power can be realized and attained, it follows that the white majority can treat with it in a more meaningful way. At the same time, the demands of black society upon white society would no longer have to be couched in terms bordering on charity and purity of heart. As our black people see black power, there will be those who will articulate the objectives badly, and there will be those in the white community who will overreact. But black power is something the white community might think about, and we might come to the conclusion ultimately that the shortest route to the creation of a stable multiracial society in this country is the development of black power. Chet Huntley, NBC News.
Now this from Botany 500 and Dacron. There's a fashion flare-up going on in men's clothing this fall, and Botany 500 started it with exclusive blends of Dacron and wool. Never, Botany 500 executives say, has styling been so great, shape so vital, or colors and patterns so exciting. Quality tailoring with a dare-off personal touch plays an important role in the revolution, as does Dacron polyester, DuPont's famous press-holding fiber. See the fashion flare-up at your nearest Botany 500 store soon. Your own fashion flare-up starts there. Chet Huntley will be heard again later today, and in 1 minute we'll have a report on the progress of Apollo 7 here on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Jack Hayes. Why do 600,000 volunteers contribute their time and their dollars to help 202 United Fund and Community Chest campaigns in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut? For several reasons. Most often, they say, because it's good to feel needed. While they're giving their time, they ask you to help only with your dollars. Please pledge your fair share. The United Way.
When you play Fortune Phone, you can be a loser and love it. Because WNBC's Lucky Fortune Phone losers get a second chance to win. This is Big Wilson. Every weekday morning between 5 and 9, I announce the name of a Fortune Phone loser. If that lucky loser calls me within 5 minutes, he wins $50. Fortune Phone losers are winners when they listen to Big Wilson mornings on WNBC Radio 66.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
This is NBC News, the flight of Apollo 7. This is Jay Barbree reporting from the NBC News Apollo Space Center. Astronauts Wallace Sherrod, Don Eisler, and Walt Cunningham are beginning their 34th trip around Earth, and are now shooting over the northern coastline of South America. About a half hour ago, during sunrise over Guam in the Pacific, the astronauts spotted the second stage of the Saturn I rocket, which boosted them into space. Mission Control reported the rocket was 358 statute miles from the Apollo 7. The astronauts were performing a navigation test with the optical tracking equipment on board the spacecraft and had high praise for, as they put it, the boys in Boston. Astronaut Sharaw was referring to engineers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology who designed the guidance system. Earlier, Mission Control reported they had a discussion about the amount of fuel left on board the Apollo 7. They were talking about the propellants needed to bring them back to Earth in case the main motor of the Apollo system failed. Everything seems to be in order there. Just moments ago, as they passed over northern Mexico, Command Pilot Sharaw described the scene there.
Plane 26 magazine is a straight shot down at the coast of Mexico, just off of Monterey.
Roger. Copy.
It's like a nice day to be on the beach.
This is Jay Barbree reporting from the NBC News Apollo Space Center.
More reports on Apollo 7 this afternoon, and of course the entire 11-day flight will be covered on NBC radio and television. Beautiful baby. This week, Richard Nixon recommended the Children's Anti-Obscenity Act and came out against mailing obscene matter to children under 16. I don't think any of the other candidates will argue with him on that, do you now? I mean, is it an issue anyone is for?
Well, the gentleman who was making the obscene telephone calls to Miss Gladys Ormsby at KL51377, please stop. My number has been changed to KL54288.
Well, you just never know now, do you? Dionne Warwick with Who's Gonna Love Me? Next question, who's gonna listen to now? You should, if you like to keep up with what's going on in the world around you. This coming week, Roscoe, the host, will talk with actor Paul Newman, baseball pitcher Denny McLean, French singer Gilbert Bécaud, and the famous Fred Astaire. That's in the late afternoon, Monday through Friday, on NBC Radio. Say, if you're looking at new homes this weekend, the Oak Flooring Institute has this thought for you that can save you money. Carpeting wears out, oak floors will last for the life of your home. Today, some builders are selling houses with only carpeting over a concrete or plywood subfloor. When that carpeting has to be replaced in a few years, you're the one who has to pay for it. If your new home has oak floors, though, you're in great shape. Exposed or covered with carpeting, beautiful oak floors will never need replacing. When you buy a home, be sure it has a permanent floor. Insist on oak. It's a beautiful word. Let's all say it together. Oak. Thank you. The floor that won't wear out. Stan Kenton with The Odd Couple. This is Gene Rayburn for Monitor. Back soon.
Is a political program sponsored by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee. Richard Nixon is participating in a series of spontaneous and unrehearsed question and answer programs all around the country. The following is an excerpt from a recent meeting Mr. Nixon had with a group of Ohio citizens.
Mr. Nixon, why do you feel that we should continuously give foreign aid to other countries when here in our own country We have senior citizens and older people who are living on Social Security and pensions that are far below what they should be.
Let me make one thing very clear. I feel very strongly that the position stated in the Republican platform, which provides that as far as Social Security benefits are concerned, they will increase as the cost of living goes up, I think that provision should be adopted, and it will be one of the major planks of my program. Because you couldn't be more correct about those living on Social Security and pensions. They have seen the cost of everything that they have, they're buying, go up by 10% in the last 4 years, and they have fallen behind because they have not had an equivalent increase in their own income. Now, the relationship of foreign aid to that basically is this. As we look at foreign aid, its primary purpose is not simply to aid other countries, but to aid the United States of America. And in my view, only when an aid program serves the interests of the United States can it be approved. I believe, for example, that if an aid program, as has been the case in some of ours in the past, if it is, it provides a chance for aid to be given to a country, directly or indirectly, which is aiding an enemy of the United States, that just doesn't make any sense at all. I think we have foreign aid all over the world today that we're spread far too thin in too many countries and too many projects.
Mr. Nixon, it's been said that America is growing into two societies, one black and one white. Now, if you're elected president, you are supposed to be the president of all the people. Now, how are you going to combat this situation? How are you going to work it out so that Americans are Americans and not black and white?
Well, Mr. Kelker, first of all, I'm going to combat it by the way I campaign in this campaign. Now, I've taken my campaign to all sections of the country. I don't write off the South and I don't write off the Northeast. And as I go to my go through the South and I go through the other sections of the country, and you can check with some of the newsmen or anybody that's been traveling with me, you will find that I make exactly the same major points in the South that I make in the North. I believe that it's vitally essential that whoever is the next president of the United States be able to unite this country. And I believe I'm elected to this office that the new programs that I have, programs that will continue, of course, those of the past administration, like Head Start, which I think have been good ones, bringing our Negro children and other disadvantaged children up to that equal chance at the starting line right at the beginning of their lives, but new programs that will provide opportunities for black Americans not just to be workers, but to be owners, to be managers, to have a piece of the action of private enterprise. That's the way we're going to build the bridge between the black community and the white community. I say, finally, that the way we're not going to build that bridge is to simply to continue to pour billions of dollars of money into federal programs for federal housing and federal welfare, which in effect has the black American off here treated separately as a colony within a nation. I think we want the black American to have the same chance as a white American for a piece of the action, and that's a program that I think is going to bring us together.
You've been listening to Richard Nixon in an excerpt from a recent question and answer program. If you believe Richard Nixon should be our next president, please help by contributing to his campaign. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. We need your help. We need it now. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. This time, give like your whole world depended on it. The preceding pre-recorded political program was sponsored by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee.
Second Sunday, the choosing of a president. A one-hour news special tonight on the NBC Radio Network.